I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. We're going to read today verses 24 through 36. Luke 11, 24 to 36. If you're following along in the Red Pew Bibles, it's on page 736. Beginning with verse 24, which says, "When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first." As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it can be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he'll put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eyes are a lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you." May the Lord add a blessing to this, the reading and the proclaiming of his holy word. I want to ask you as we begin this morning, how do you make decisions? How do you choose? Maybe a better question: do you make decisions? Do you wait and see? Maybe wait and see what develops, so that you hopefully will never have to actually make a choice. Do you research, risking what is very real analysis paralysis? That you have so much information to process, so many voices that you've heard, that you don't know which way to go. Do you commit to a course of action quickly and then assess the results? I ask this because that is the question that Jesus addresses in this passage. The crowds had seen him. Could someone make sure that that door is open? I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, no, it's open. All right. Yeah. All right. I don't know what's going on back there. That's quite all right. So I ask this because these questions touch upon the theme that Jesus addresses in this morning's passage. The crowd has seen and heard Jesus do and say incredible things. But how would they respond? Will they respond? That's the question for this morning. As we look at these various and somewhat divided passage, there's three different conversations going on. There's a conversation about demon possession. There's a conversation about looking for a sign. There's a conversation about light and life. It's easy to maybe get bogged down in the minutiae. So let me just make this three broad things that Jesus wants us to see as he talks to the crowd. The first is that there is a danger in making no choice. It is true that some refuse to respond to God's grace. God's grace is extended. And in this case, God's grace is extended so that a demon is evicted from someone's life. And what does this person do when a demon is evicted from their life, their house? They appreciate that things are tidy. They appreciate that things have been cleared up. They appreciate that the mess that their life was is no longer a mess. However, behind the scenes, no one takes up residence. The house of the soul is empty. And what happens? After a season, that demon, along with seven of his more wicked demon friends, decide, let's make this into a frat house. We're all going to move in and we're going to destroy the place. And what does Jesus say? Ultimately, the condition of this man is worse than when he first started. As messy as his house was under with one demon, his house is worse by far because there are now eight in residence. All because there was no response to God's grace. There was no response to the demon exorcism, eviction. There was no response. A lack of response to Christ ends up creating a worse condition. Then Jesus goes on to say, same sort of premise, that a woman comes up to him and says, blessed is the womb from which you were born and the breasts from which you nursed. Seems somewhat odd. I do not recommend that in general conversation. But that's what the scriptures say. Because in that culture and in that time, the greatest honor you could give someone is to tell them that they come from a good family. That was, and maybe still is, a mark of character. You come from a good stock. You come from a good place. You're a good person. Blessed are you. Blessed is your family that you have such great understanding. And Jesus says, no. Blessed are those who hear God's word and obey it. Blessed are those who respond. And what Jesus is saying here in both of these accounts is do not choose. Do not make no decision because of your past experience or because of your parents. It's dangerous to think that blessing, because I've been blessed with grace, I'll continue to be blessed with grace. It's dangerous to think that because of my biology, I've been blessed, and because I'm still have that biology, I'll continue to be blessed. Because Jesus says, no. Just because you've been blessed in the past doesn't mean that the situation won't be worse in the future. Just because you have the right biology doesn't mean you'll be blessed, because biology doesn't count. But obedience does. It is dangerous to think that your past or your parents are the source of your confidence in God. When we think this way, we fail to respond to the truth of Christ, and we end up with circumstances more horrible than when we began. There is a danger in making no choice when it comes to Christ. There is also a danger in delaying the choice. And we see that in verses 29 to 33. There were a crowd gathering that was looking for a sign. And this may be a callback to verse 17, 16, where Jesus casts out a demon, and what do they say? That's impressive, but we need another sign to confirm that you are who you are. They wanted another sign. They wanted more proof. They wanted more data. If you could just tell me more. But Jesus says that this generation is wicked, is rotten, is bad. Not morally, maybe not even spiritually, but they are corrupted, because that generation just felt that they needed more proof. They needed a sign. And what Jesus says is, Christ, the Son of Man, is sufficient. That the truth of Christ proclaimed is more than sufficient. And he uses two examples. He uses the sign of Jonah. Now, many think in this particular passage that Jesus is talking about the sign of Jonah, where he spent 3 days in the belly of a big fish, got spit out, and lived. However, the Ninevites had nothing to do with that, nor did they understand that. And Jesus specifically says that it's Jonah's sign to the Ninevites. And Jonah's sign to the Ninevites was, if you don't repent, God is going to destroy you. And then, when they did repent, God didn't destroy them. That the sign was God's grace. The sign was God's mercy at the proclaimed word from God. To hear the word and to obey it. And Jesus is now saying, you have heard the word. You have seen the word. You have mastered the word. And yet, you still refuse to obey it. And those Ninevites, as ungodly as you think they might be, they will rise up at the last day. And they will bear witness for themselves and against you, because you waited for more. Then he goes on to say, Jesus does, the Queen of Sheba from 1 Kings 10. The Queen of Sheba hears about Solomon. And she goes from what Jesus says, the ends of the earth. She travels up to Jerusalem. And she hears what Solomon has to say and where Solomon accounts his wisdom to a grace of God. And she says, praise be to your God, for he has revealed these great truths to us. The sign for Solomon was the wisdom of God reaching the world. The history of God's people has been, when you hear the word, you respond with repentance and with praise. But this crowd, looking for another sign. And what Jesus says is, the sign that you have in me, the Son of God, the Son of Man, my preaching and my teaching, my works of miracles, is greater than anything anyone else had, and yet they were delivered. And how bad it will be for you because you waited for more. It's dangerous to put off a response to the truth of Christ by demanding more evidence. Jesus states that all the evidence anyone would ever need is sufficient in him, right here. And we have even more than those who were listening on that Judean countryside. We have the cross. We have the tomb. We have the resurrection. We have 2,000 years of stories of how God has been merciful and kind and loving in the ordinary circumstances and in the extraordinary circumstances, in times of great trial and in times of great triumph, God is always faithful. And God forbid that we be another generation of corrupted souls saying, I need more to be convinced. Jesus concludes this interaction after he has said that there is a danger in making no choice and that there is a danger in delaying the choice. He concludes by saying there is blessing in choosing the light. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it's hidden. No one puts it in a crypt. No one puts it in the basement. They don't put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. Jesus then uses a complex figure of speech to explain his choice, to explain our choice, to explain the inner workings of what is going on amongst the people. And he says this, your eye is a lamp for the whole body. Now, understand that the lamp is not the light. The lamp is the means by which the light is transmitted. But the light, the lamp is not the light. The light is the light. So it's not that he is saying your eyes are the source of truth. He's saying your eyes are the receptacle that has received the light and illuminates the body. Then he goes on to say that the condition of your lamp, the condition of which you receive the light, the receptacle of that energy which illuminates your whole body, is associated with your spiritual condition. When the lamp is good, the whole person is radiant. When you have a clean lens, when you have trimmed wicks, when you have sufficient fuel, all your body is radiant. You are full of light. So much so that we are like lamps on a stand. That our lives, our bodies, what we do, how we speak, what we say, our presence in the world is like a lamp on a stand. And those who enter in are able to see, are able to avoid danger, are able to be guided and instructed and warmed. But when the lamp is bad, the whole person remains darkened. When the lenses are unclear, when the wicks are unattended, when the fuel is empty, when the lamp is unable to radiate light, then your body is dark. And you are of no lasting and eternal purpose. You're unable to illumine. Now, without the truth of God in Christ, darkness prevails. There is no inner light to illumine us. There is no plan B. We are not the sun. God is the sun. S-U-N. We are the moon. We have no ability to create light. We merely receive it and reflect it. But that light can shine in the darkest of places. So we must choose to receive the light, allow our eyes to take in the light of truth, and then reflect that light. Jesus expects those who see and hear him to receive him with and respond with obedience. Our sermon in a sentence is this: we must choose to receive the light of truth and be radiant for Christ. We must not refuse to respond to God's grace, which will result in a worse condition. We must not delay our decision due to our need for more data, which will cause our condemnation. We all must choose to receive the light of truth and be radiant for Christ. So do not put off the decision to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior indefinitely. Do not put it off for tomorrow. Decide today and every day to repent and to praise God, to fill that tank, to let that light receive, to let that lamp receive the light, to burn brightly. Wherever you are, You know, a light is needed in a laundry room. A light is needed in an operating room. A light is needed in a classroom. A light is needed in the halls of justice. A light is needed in a basement apartment. The light is needed everywhere. Maybe more so in those difficult and dark and dank places. And if God calls you there, He gives you sufficiency to shine brightly. So go out and be radiant in your world. For everywhere can use the light of the Lord to shine upon them. We all must choose to receive the light and be radiant for Christ. Shall we pray?